I'm freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Better look out there, clam digging. Bloody clam digging.
Hello, what have we here?
Go fuck yourself.
And I am a sports entertainer.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome to Eat Sleep Elite. I am your host, Charlie. I am normally always joined by the other co-host, Duke. However, he hasn't been able to watch the show. He lost his power. Leaves some storms going on, and he hasn't even been able to check the show. So it's just me tonight. We will get Duke's thoughts when we do our normal show next week during the news, because you guys are going to want to know what the fuck he was thinking, because holy shit, what a show we had tonight. God, I don't even know where to get started. First off, I'd like to say thanks for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. If it's your first time checking us out, we do a weekly show called Eat Sleep Elite, where we kind of break down everything in AEW, the news, you know, all the results. We give our favorites, this and that, and it's usually a really fun show. However, you just got me tonight, so hopefully I can carry the load, if you will, and we can get through this and have some fun. Just overall thoughts. I thought this show was incredible. I really did. Front to end, we talk about our smorgasbord of professional wrestling that AEW truly is. And tonight, could it have been on display any more? Like, genuinely, could it have been on display any more than tonight? It was really something special. You know, I will say this. The show did feel long. Now, I think if we were watching this in a vacuum, you know, a year from now, maybe just on a random Thursday afternoon, you know, maybe it'll hit a little different. Sunday night here in America, it's nearly 1 a.m. right now and the show just ended. It feels a little late right now, but that's besides the point, right?
I like those odds.
I gotta tell you, I really, really love this show. So let's just go through it. I'll spend some time on some things here and there. And So we kick off our buy-in with Deonna Purrazzo defeating Thunder Rosa. I thought this was a really solid opener. I'm glad this feud made it to the pay-per-view, whether it was the buy-in or not. I think it still deserved to make the pay-per-view. They're both really good wrestlers, and I got a feeling we're going more and more from this. This is not going to be the end of this feud. Deonna Purrazzo ends up winning this by holding the ropes, to quote, as Duke always, Duke loves when the announcers say this, steal the pin. So Deonna did steal the pin there. I thought this was a fine opener. You know, it kind of set the tone for the night, right? We get an Acclaim the Daddy Ass promo, which is kind of, you know, setting the vibe for their feud with the Cage of Agony. What the fuck is that name? Are we taking the piss right now? The Cage of Agony? We don't do our normal show on pay-per-view weeks, and I gotta tell you, I think we would have had some good jokes at that. Cage of fucking Agony. Do what you will with that name. Renee welcomes Dr. Martha Hart and Tony Khan to the stage. The Owen Hart Cup is set up on the stage. Great to be back in Vegas. 25 years of the Owen Hart Foundation. That their tournament's going to start up soon. So similar to last year, sometime after Double or Nothing. Finals will once again be July 10th. And the title shot, the champions of the tournament will win title shots for the world championships at All in Wembley Stadium. You want to talk about putting stakes on this fucking tournament? Holy shit. I absolutely adore tournaments in wrestling. It's truly, I don't know. I've always been such a tournament just fiend, whether it's college basketball, the NHL playoffs that are happening right now, the NBA playoffs, you name it. I've always been a tournament fiend. I mean, even today with Southampton beating Leeds, right? Like, that was the end of that small little tournament that concluded at the end of the season, you name it. Like, I love tournaments in all aspects of sports. And with wrestling, it makes me care that much more about the match that we're getting. So, who do I think could possibly win these matches? You know, no Jamie Hayter tonight, so who knows how far off she is. I think that would have kind of been your fan favorite for this tournament. That doesn't mean she can't show up on Dynamite or Collision in the next couple weeks. Not by any stretch of the imagination. She very well could. But with them, with her not showing up tonight, I think that kind of puts her out of the running a little bit.
DaVinci?
I'm thinking my gut is telling me Mariah May. I could see her kind of go on this gauntlet in the tournament. I know she might be a popular pick. But we got Statlander wrapped up with Willow. We're doing Deonna and Thunder Rosa. There's a lot of options, but I think I got Mariah May. Just, you know, this is how you guys already know. I got to toss some fucking predictions at you, right? Because what would I be if I didn't? And for the men's side, with Will Ospreay winning the international title, I think this puts a whole wrench in this plan. I've been fantasy booking for over a year now. Swerve versus Will Ospreay at the next Wembley. Not over a year. I guess maybe this year, I should say. I thought that would have been a beautiful spot for that. But you can have anyone win these tournaments, and you can make stars out of anyone. So like, it could be Darby Allin, right? There's plenty of options, plenty of fish in the sea. The Acclaimed and Daddy Ass defeated the Cage of Agony. Was not vibing too hard with this match, I gotta tell you. Billy Gunn did end up catching Khan with a flash roll-up to get the win. So, and, you know, the Acclaimed Gunn and the Mascot all did their scissor in the ring, you know. Hey, the Acclaimed, their shtick, I think, will always be over for the most part. I missed Max's rap, but I saw people online talking about how they really liked it, so maybe he's just said, fuck it, I'm done kind of, you know, doing the gimmick where I fuck up the raps. Hey, it is what it is. We open up Double or Nothing with Will Ospreay taking on and defeating Roderick Strong. This was, can you start a pay-per-view off better than sending fucking Will Ospreay out there to start the damn show? It was fucking awesome, man. This was really good. God, I'm such a Will Ospreay. I am such a Will Ospreay fan, but I think it's well deserved at this point, right? It has to be well deserved. So Roderick Strong held this title for 84 days. What do we think about his title reign? I mean, really. He made it feel, you know, it was very important to get the matches against him again, which for all the things Orange Cassidy did, his title being the open title reign, especially the first time, I think the second title reign of Orange Cassidy undid a lot of that. And it started dragging the show down a little bit in some parts. I started not looking forward to the matches as much as I was in the first title reign. And I think that in total, you know, hurt the quality of the title reign a little bit. Now, Roderick, he only successfully defended against Kyle O'Reilly at Dynasty. And Duke and I might have been the only podcast on the planet that didn't completely vibe with that match. I have since gone back and rewatched it. I do think I was a little harsh on it during the minute we watched it, but you know, that's kind of what you get when you get these, like the show just ended. If this was on YouTube and we were performing this live, you'd literally get this notification within 3 minutes of the show ending. We have this shit queued and ready to go when we do these things. So, I mean, these are raw thoughts. But yeah, I think Roddy's been, I don't know. I'm torn on it. I'm really torn on his title reign. I'll tell you what, though, I'm excited as hell for Will Ospreay to have this thing. I am very, very excited for Will Ospreay to have this thing. One of the main things they told throughout the match was Ospreay and Callis' story. And kind of the gimmick was, is Ospreay going to use his Tiger Driver 91? Don Callis is demanding it. He hesitated too long. He ends up shoving the ref out of the way. Strong had a gut buster, a sidekick for the close two. And Callis is screaming, you can't be weak in these moments. Don Callis really is Darth fucking Sidious, by the way. Ospreay ends up hitting the end of heartache. Strong went for the end of Heartache. Ospreay maneuvered out of it, hit a Hidden Blade and Stormbreaker for the win. One of the best 1-2 combos in all of the sport. Callis is screaming, "We won." Adam Cole's music hits. I think we all had a vibe where this was going.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
I will definitely be getting the new clip of MJF returning, telling people they gotta eat a whole bag of donkey dicks. That little video they did, just like the Adam Copeland debut, that little video they shot beforehand, well, that was fucking clean. That was beautiful. I think MJF, to me, is almost a perfect case study on... Now, MJF was hurt. Now, I totally agree. He was hurt. But I think MJF, to me, is the perfect case study in AEW why sometimes just taking a little bit of time off makes that return that much sweeter. Because when MJF left in December, that was probably the... we were ready for something new. We were ready for something different in the world title scene. And we got that with Joe, and we're getting that with Swerve. And I think a little time does the heart some good, right? Now MJF's back, you know, nearly 6 months later. 5 months later, right? Nearly 5 months later, and I'm so happy to see him again. I can't wait to see him cut some promos on Dynamite now. He cut his little promo here, and we'll actually hit some of these lines because I think it's important for what he was trying to say. Said Adam Cole, something he had never given to anyone before, trust. That'll never happen again. He did wake him up. He's a generational talent. He hits his better than you line. He said, instead of those schmucks in the back, he doesn't need New Japan or Vince McMahon to make him a star. MJF made MJF. No more haha, no more kangaroo kicks, no more bullshit.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
He said it's all about hate, hate, hate. When you're driven by hate, no one is safe. He picks up the devil mask. He spits in it. He drops an elbow on the fucking thing. And that popped me. That actually popped me pretty good. I'm not going to lie to you. It did its job for me. All we were missing was son of a bitch. Sorry. Can you tell it's late? I don't know what I'm doing, man. It is what it is. He said, in regards to his contract status, he's all in. He's double or nothing. To quote one of the greats. And he shows his leg tattoo that says, bet on yourself with an AEW logo. You can call him the Wolf of Wrestling because he's not fucking leaving. The crowd went fucking ballistic. How are you guys feeling about MJF being back? I think this is really good for the summer. I think AEW is setting themselves up for a really, really fun summer. And I think that's the theme of tonight. This wasn't just, you know, the opening chapters to a fucking... It's not like next season's where all the meat is, right? If this was a television show, we weren't just laying the groundwork. Tonight, you had a conclusion to a lot of things. And tonight was really, really great. And what we did was we left cliffhangers for what's to come this summer. Switchblade Jay White and the Guns defeated Death Triangle to retain the Unified World Trios titles. The Trios titles are back, guys. I mean, seriously, they are back. I loved this match. This was really fun. The Bang Bang Gang. No more Bullet Club Gold, it looks like. We'll dive into a little bit of that next week's show here. But it looks like Bullet Club Gold has gone the way of the wind, if you will. It's Shai Hulud Sunday, after all, and I think Bullet Club Gold has turned its ugly head, if you will. Pac looked incredible. Phoenix. I love Rey Fénix. You know this. You know I love Rey Fénix. Juice is loose. The Juice Robinson has returned.
Damn!
How nice is it to see Juice? Wow, what a great reaction for him, by the way. Hello. Hello. That was really nice to see. I won't go beat for beat in a lot of these matches because I'm sure you guys, you just want to, you know how it is. We want to talk some vibes with it all. But just so much action. So much action. And yeah, our main takeaway here is Juice. Juice returning was awesome. Let's get into this women's title match where Timeless Toni Storm has defeated Serena Deeb. If you've been following the show for a long time, you know what I'm about to say. I loved this match. Serena Deeb is so fucking good. And I gotta tell you, Toni Storm has become undeniable. This character, the wrestler she is, the performer she is, what she does in the ring with everything wrapped into that bottle that you could possibly imagine, what Toni Storm is bringing, she's become undeniable. She's proving herself every single time. This was awesome. There was some technical, really good technical work in this match. Meanwhile, they actually had me believing Serena Deeb might win for a second. When she hit, she hit a deep box on the apron, a deep tox on the apron, and then hit one another one back inside. That popped the crowd, and that popped me. I thought she was gonna win. When you can sell me, even for half a second, that's what it's all about in wrestling, right? I went into this match thinking there's no shot in hell Serena Deeb's winning. I'm just looking forward to a good wrestling match. We've had this debate on the show before. Is that a good thing for the show as a whole? You know, when if there's a collision episode where you look at all the, you know, the seven matches on the card and you know who's going to win every match, does that affect your viewing of the show? That's a long debate we've had before, and I'm sure we'll have it again in the future. Which is another reason why I love these tournaments, because, you know, keeps it ominous of who's going to win at the end of the day. You get matches with stakes that traditionally might not have had the stakes there. Yeah, Storm hit the Avalanche Storm Zero, and she celebrated, rolled around in confetti, and Mariah was there. I mean, that they have these camera angles worked out. Like, it looks beautiful. It there's nothing like it, and it's really enjoyable to watch. So, but yeah, by the way, Jay White run with the blade. Won with the Blade Runner in the last match. I forgot to get that finish for you. Jay White looking great, huh? This roster is fucking unbelievable. I truly think the AEW roster is just so special. And it makes me happy thinking about it. Like genuinely, it makes me happy. We jump into our next match. Whichever every show, there's going to be a match I'm maybe not that high on. This was it, this show. Orange Cassidy ended up defeating Trent Beretta. I don't even like the fit. I don't like the result. Why is Trent losing? Now, perhaps they're playing this up to something different and something that I can't understand what they're trying to go for just yet. But Trent left the arena. Pretty much said, fuck this, I'm done. It's a pretty different angle than I thought this would have gone. For this being, I gotta say this, and I wouldn't be telling the truth if I didn't say this. All those times we saw Orange Cassidy have these super passionate matches against just random fucking people on a Dynamite, on a Collision, defending his international title, it felt like he had so much more emotion in those matches than it had in this supposed blood feud. And I don't know what to do with that. I don't understand Don Callis' angle. I'm intrigued by it. I don't understand it, but I'm intrigued. I'm open to what's going to happen here. I'm interested. It's not my favorite thing on the show by any stretch, but...
Hello there.
I'm interested. Hello, Kenobi. So, I don't know. I don't know what to do with this. Because what's happening with Chuck? I really liked their match, their fight. Chuck and Trent. I thought that was good. I think Orange winning this, I mean, he's got to be in the tournament for the Owen Hart. It's the only thing that makes sense. I don't know. You know, just like we talked about with MJF, if you gave Orange Cassidy 3 months off, maybe two, That way you can have him back before All In. I think you're going to get a lot of people feeling a little differently. Then again, I don't know how many people are feeling like me in this situation. Maybe they loved this match and they fucking bit every single second of it. But again, we got these this flash pin nonsense. It was pretty cool, though. I don't agree with calling it flash. I'm with Duke on that, actually. I understand using flash pins. Like when Rey Fénix beat the Beast Mortos a few weeks back, and he legit stole the victory, that to me is a good use of it. Mortos had the advantage 7 ways to Sunday, and Rey Fénix ended up winning that match. So, yeah. I am the learning tree! Chris Jericho defeats Hook and Katsuyori Shibata to retain the FTW title. Shibata's losing to Chris Jericho. Ah! It's all right. It was nice to see it was weird to see Shibata out there, actually. Let's be real. It's weird, man. You don't expect to see Shibata just in the middle of a card wrestling, you know, Hook and Chris Jericho. It's weird. But it's cool. I'm actually okay with this learning tree nonsense. It's actually much better than it was a month ago. You've kind of, if you're our weekly listeners, you guys, you know what I mean. I've been enjoying it much more. You know, FTW rules was whatever. The dice was a fun spot. And, yeah, you know, on a show where we have Anarchy in the Arena, and we had the Adam Copeland-Malachi Black match, this match feels very forgettable this far on. Let's get into the meat, though, of Big Bill looked good here in his little run-in. And Bounty Hunter Brian Keith actually helped Jericho seal the victory. Now, wait a minute. Hold on now. Give me just a second. Let's back that up. The Bounty Hunter and Chris Jericho? Look, I've already been digging this learning tree shit. I'm a big fan of the Bounty Hunter. Now, you can say what you want, but Jericho does elevate the people around him. He has. People feel more important when they're next to him. And if any of that rubs off on Bounty Hunter Brian Keith, you can count me in. Seriously. I am so down with that.
Hello, what have we here?
But, yeah, Jericho ends up hitting the Judas Effect. And, he pinned the, he pinned Shibata. He hit the Judas Effect on Hook. And, yeah, so. John Moxley takes on and defeats Konosuke Takeshita in an IWGP World Title Eliminator. I think there's a discussion to be had here about how we feel about Eliminator matches on landmark pay-per-views. I'm willing to give it a pass for it being New Japan's championship, for it being two guys that are not New Japan regulars. I'm willing to give it a pass. However, I wouldn't want this to become a regular. You know, the story of this one, I mean, really, Takeshita didn't listen to Don Callis. And here's the thing. John Moxley, this was the match itself. You want to talk about a match that I'm sure there's some people that didn't vibe with this, but I loved it. I loved the slow work of the arm. Takeshita worked Moxley's arm. Low, slow, painful. He's wanting him to feel every burn that he's applying. And to Shivani's credit, he did a really good job putting it over on commentary. Callis is whispering he thinks Moxley's arm is broken. Death Rider spiked Moxley for a super close near fall. Takeshita threw chairs in from under the ring. Rick Knox tossed him out. Moxley hit a curb stomp. Death Rider, 1, 2, 3. I don't love that. I'll tell you this. if this ends up being Takeshita turning away from Callis, I think there's options this could work. I really think Takeshita is one of our top like four candidates that should win this tournament, this Owen Hart Foundation Tournament Cup, to face off, you know, at Wembley. I think Takeshita should be one of our options. And you know, when he's having interviews about how he's not, wrestling hasn't been what he thought it was in America, and then we're having him lose where he looks like an idiot. He looks like a fucking moron, man. And there's an emotional part of me that does affect, that I'm not in love with that. I accept the match for what it was. I enjoyed the match. I'm not going to look at the finish and be like, oh yeah, that just ruined all the good work he was putting in. I don't view wrestling like that. I know a lot of people do, you know, but I thought the match itself was fine. I think it was actually needed for the show to have something a little bit slower. However, in a fucking from 7 to 12:38 show or whatever the hell this went, you know, what's that, 5.5 hours of the buy-in? Maybe this did feel a little burnout to some people, but I was feeling it at the moment, so it's okay. Adam Copeland defeating Malakai Black in a barbed wire steel cage match for the TNT title. Are you kidding me with this current run Adam Copeland is on? Like, genuinely, are you fucking kidding me? By the way, I thought he might have tore both of his ACLs at one point in this match, jumping off the top. Good God, why didn't he just go for like the fucking, you know, body-to-body one? I don't know. That scared me a little bit. We've all seen those videos online of someone jumping like that and their legs just fucking like inverting. Like, oh God, no. I'm loving this run Adam Cole's on, man. I really am. Adam Copeland. I wish Adam Cole was on a run. They teased up Buddy and Brody joining him. I personally wouldn't want that. I think the House of Black is perfect as they are. You guys know me. I love them in every angle that they're in together. The crowd was really into this. I think everyone knows how great Adam Copeland is right now, how much he's enjoying it. We can feel it through the screen. He loved this match with Malakai. There was fucking bloody mess in the ring. He loves this shit, man. He fucking loves this shit. Just go back to his WrestleMania match against Finn when Finn gets cut open and they fucking halt the match to a goddamn fucking... They literally halt the match. And you just feel like as soon as the ref cleared him, they went back to fucking... This is what he loves. There was... He came out as the Brood. You had a Gangrel cameo. The story here, Copeland survived. I personally have never seen the Gangrel wrestle. The Brood is something that I knew what they were, but it's not something I'm emotionally attached to. But hey, if you fucking love that cameo, fuck yeah, I'm happy for you. Copeland did retrieve his wedding ring. What's next for the Cope Open? What's next for Cope? Maybe I'll start calling him that. I saw a little interview play where he said he hopes one day people can just refer to him as Cope. Like they do for Moxley, they just call him Mox. I believe he referenced Cope versus Mox. Hey, wait a minute now. Lexi Nair is backstage with Don Callis. Mixed bag tonight for the family. It's a great night. Never been brighter. Orange Cassidy said he has a scoop. This Wednesday is presenting a contract for the Don Callis family. Okay. I haven't run a poll yet tonight. By the way, I'm sorry for last week's poll. I didn't put it in until 2 days after the show. I completely forgot. But starting tonight, as soon as I have this shit uploaded, I'm putting the poll on, baby. So if you are on Spotify, unfortunately only Spotify, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll put the fucking poll on Twitter too. At Eat Sleep Elite. By the way, I'm at OCharlie with an X instead of an A. Whatever podcast platform you had me listening to us on. Hey, if you're enjoying the show, go ahead and follow, subscribe, whatever you want. Maybe a little 5-star frog splash review. I would greatly appreciate that. But sorry for the complete side note there. But yeah, I completely forgot what I was fucking talking about. That's okay. Oh, yeah. The poll. Duh. Don't mind me. It's a little late, all right? The poll. Do you want Orange Cassidy in the Don Callis family? That's your poll right now. Spotify, Twitter, go vote. Twitter, I'll leave the polls open as long as I possibly can. I think it's 2 days max. Spotify, it's open all week. So go ahead and pop in there, and we'll get you those. We'll talk about it, unfortunately, after Wednesday. But I'll still be curious to know if people want him in the crew. Excuse me. Mercedes Moné, Mercedes Money, defeats Willow Nightingale to win the TBS Championship. This is part of our triple main event they tried to dub. How do you guys feel? Let's be real. How do we feel about these fucking double, triple main events? The match that goes on last is the main event. Earlier on, I advocated for this match to be the main event. Knowing what we had in the main event, there's no way that could not have not gone last. Did I say that right? I think I did. Shout out the crowd. The crowd was hot for this match. There was dueling chants going right away. They made Mercedes' debut feel like the star that she is. I am such a fan of Mercedes. She's one of my all-time favorite wrestlers, not just women's wrestlers, wrestlers. I have really enjoyed her work. She's been out for a year. She signs to AEW. Hey, you guys know what I'm about to say. Online, you got the fucking grifters, you name it. They're fucking hating every little thing she does to try and bring her down. The bell rings. She reminds you right away who she is. This was so well done. And Willow is so good. Mercedes is so good. I think there's a chance you could continue this. But Statlander turns on Willow post-match. Whoa. That felt good. That was very, very well executed. Ripping off the friendship bracelet, chucking it at her. Speaking of chucking it at her, a spot I missed earlier, Shibata chucking the dice at Jericho was fucking brilliant. But yeah, she hit the moneymaker for the clean pin. It was almost a sigh of relief is not the right term, but I was very happy to see Mercedes go out there and have this quality of a match. Like, I don't know if it's reassuring is what I'm looking for, but hey, you guys are picking up on my vibe, right? Like, it was nice to see. And I'm excited for her to be a champion. Let's talk about Willow's reign. Willow held the belt for 36 days. She defeats Julia Hart at Dynasty. She defends against Sky Blue in the Manitoba Massacre. And she defends against Tom Nakano in Stardom Flashing Champions. Willow was a perfectly acceptable title reign. Well, we're getting the TBS title. You know, we're building a legacy for this thing right now. With Mercedes being our fifth champion. Wow. Time flies, huh? How long did we only have one champion? God, and it felt like I felt like I had to come on here and defend that title reign every week. It's okay, though. It was a very, very good title reign. Look, you had to do one of them. Let's be real. You had to do one, like, untouchable fucking champion at least one time in your company. See how it goes, right? And Jade is a fucking megastar, so we know how that goes. Jade's awesome. Swerve Strickland defeated Christian Cage to retain the AEW World title. Bit of a slower start. There were some cool entrances here for Swerve. Bit of a slower start, but once it really got going, the crowd sunk into it. You know, when they... Strickland, hey, by the way. Little winks at Mother Wayne. Now, I don't blame him. You know what I'm saying? I don't blame him one bit. And neither should you, motherfucker! Leave him alone! This was a good title defense for Swerve. The program itself, the overarching program, as you guys know, if Duke was here, something we really like to do is talk about the overarching stories leading into it. But I've kind of just been doing it while I go per match. But, you know, the thing is, this was a really enjoyable feud, and I think it captivated nice. We had to get the Spanish announce table involved, the kill switch, you know, that house call. My God, that house call is so good. Swerve wins. He's celebrating with Floyd Mayweather. We see that cue from Impractical Jokers. It's a really good first title defense for Swerve. Well, first title program for Swerve. He has defended the title, which is something I love about AEW, and I love about how we just let wrestlers wrestle, because that's what I'm here for. I'm here for wrestling. Everything else is a bonus. You want to talk about a bonus? Let's get to this main event. The Elite defeated Team AEW in Anarchy in the Arena. Anarchy in the Arena has to be, it has to be the coolest fucking thing in all of wrestling. Like, there's nothing like it. Stadium Stampede is like it. That's about all you're getting. It's so much fun. The vibes. Let's just start off with this. The vibes when the final countdown is playing and these motherfuckers are beating the shit out of each other. Those vibes are untouched. That's a fucking wrestling moment I'm never going to forget. This was a clusterfuck. This is something you dream about. And it's in your head and it doesn't make sense. How do you possibly bring this to a wrestling ring? How do you go beyond this? Jack Perry, first of all, committed vehicular manslaughter. And then was lit on fire by a flamethrower for his actions. Remix Jones made an appearance. I loved the teases of Okada and Darby Allin. Whoa, 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 whoa. Who got the vibes from that when they had their couple little exchanges, huh? Cash Wheeler looked awesome as always. Dax looked great. Danielson's the fucking goat. The Bucks. God, the Bucks are so great in these matches. They get the crowd booing them, fucking cheering them, whether the heel face, you name it. Okada, $1 million, flicking up the camera flick off moment. Bites the crowd every time. Jack Perry pinning Bryan Danielson. This has got to be great for Jack. Jack's stock is so far through the roof right now. And, you know, we talk about the four pillars. Three of them had really big spots tonight, and Sam, you know where to be seen. AEW's four pillars, that is. Our four pillars. Daniel Garcia, Wheeler Yuta, Ricky Starks. Not as much on the show. Not as much on the show. That's okay. Who the hell's our other pillar? Why am I blanking so bad right now? Dante Martin. Wow, none of our pillars were on the show. Maybe we struck out on our pillars. We did make that in 2021, though. A lot of them have had up and down careers. We made our pillar thing in 2021 when they first did that pillar shit. So, guys, there were so many spots in this match, but I think just the complete clusterfuck and how exciting it was. I don't think I've ever seen a wrestling match quite like that. Darby Allin fucking hanging from his ankles, getting super kicked. The fucking exploding chairs. A little bit of one-on-one, like, kind of technical work almost we got between Danielson and Okada at one point. It was only like fucking 12 seconds, but it was still pretty good. It had all of it, man. It really did, so... as always, if there was another brawl out situation at the media scrum, I have no idea if it happened. We record this usually; that's happening right now. So, but yeah, guys, that's kind of all I got to say. I think all in all, you can kind of tell the vibes are really high. I don't ever do shows on my own, so I hope you enjoyed that aspect. But as always, I'll be back here with Duke next week when we're doing our normal programming and. Yeah, check out those polls, whether it's Twitter or Spotify, at Eat Sleep Elite. Thank you guys very much, and I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I did. So, I will catch you guys on the flip side. Thank you.
Tom Freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Better be on there clam digging. Bloody clam digging.
What have we here?
Go fuck yourself.
Damn.
And I am a sports entertainer.